I'll ask you to take your Bibles to 2 Corinthians tonight, to chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. And I'll just have to be honest with you tonight, I have so much circling in my mind to say that I feel like maybe like the Apostle Paul did from time to time, where he said so much to say and I don't have the time to say it. I think it's the way he put it. I don't have the ability to write down everything that's on my heart. And I kind of feel that way tonight, that there's more to be said about this subject than certainly than I have penned and certainly I'll be only scratching the surface in this subject tonight, but hopefully it will be the message that God has for us at such a time as this. You know, in the writings in the Bible, there are several occasions where there are unforeseen battles. There's things going on that you can't see. And sometimes God lets the human participants' eyes to be opened, and they can actually see the things that are there that typically we can't. Paul would write about such times in Ephesians chapter 6, where he'd say that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so he was sort of letting us pull back the curtain and see that the real battle that we face in a Christian worldview is, it's not us fighting them. There's more going on in this atmosphere than you know. And sometimes we get close to that. We get to understand that a little bit more than at other times. We sense it. We understand it. We've been there with our families in that struggle, that we know there's something bigger going on than just a physical thing. And we know in our church there's been times when it's bigger than anyone could put their finger on and say, this is it right here. No, it's much bigger than what you can see or touch. And folks, frankly, what is going on in our country is so much bigger than any plan that any politician could write to get us out of it. There are spiritual things going on, spiritual battles going on that are so real. I'm reminded of Daniel when he was praying for some answer to some big question in his life, in Israel's life, as he was in Babylon in chapter 11 and 12 of Daniel. And finally, Michael comes and he says, here's the answer to your prayer. It's like 14 days late, but here's the answer. And the reason is because I was doing war with the prince of Persia on my way to bring you the answer. There are demonic forces that reign over areas in this world. Don't ever think differently. There are principalities. A principality has to have a prince. Just like Daniel's prayer was answered finally, but there was a war going on with a prince of Persia. Not a physical battle, a spiritual battle. That is happening. in areas all over the globe right now. And you know, most Christians are so busy, let's just be honest, we're so busy that we don't ever think about that. I mean, there's a war going on for your family and mine, and there's a war going on for this church and for churches in this association, and there's a war going on for control and power over areas in our state that maybe hasn't been relinquished yet. And what I want to talk about tonight is understanding opposition, understanding there is a force, there is a demonic force against the church. The church, the family is under attack, and we need to understand there is something more than just what you and I can talk about and what we can see and what we can physically touch tonight. But secondly, if you have to have an outline to hang all this on, the second one is we need to learn to utilize the offensive and defensive weapons that we've been given. As I got a little ring going on, I don't know if you guys are hearing it, but the third thought is we've got to unleash God's power and God's potential on those who oppose Him. Now, can God not do what God wants to do without us? Absolutely, God is totally in control. Folks, but there are weapons in the armament of the Christian, of the church, that I think we all too often do not utilize to go to battle with the evil one. And so I want to try to go through this. Paul is writing in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. He says, "Now I, Paul," I'm in verse 1, "beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base or lowly or humble among you, but being absent, I'm bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh." Now, I want you to understand something. There, in Paul's ministry, there are these people, there are these men who are always opposing him. Now, Paul understands that it's greater than just some Judaizers, some Pharisees. It's greater than just those men. It's in every city that he travels to and starts a church and gets that church off the ground and gets leadership underneath that church, there's men that come in to try to thwart what God is up to in that local church. You understand that, right? And so it's almost happening everywhere he goes. And so these guys are like hounding his ministry. They're doubting his calling. They're causing the people to think ill of him or to think less of him as a man of God. And they, maybe they're bringing up his past. Maybe they're bringing up things that we don't know about. It could be that they're just planting seeds of doubt in the Christian. Are you sure it's just by faith? Are you sure there's nothing you can do to receive salvation? Are you sure that that's all it is? I mean, because why would God tell us to do all this stuff? You sure it's not circumcision? Are you sure it's not works? Are you sure there's not some ritual we've got to do? And they would constantly hound his ministry, causing doubt, causing opposition. But I'm telling you, it was not just a fleshly opposition. And he understood that. And so he said, "I know when I come to you, I'm humble, I'm lowly, I'm base, I'm meek, and I'm quiet." And I don't use big words. I'm a simple man when I'm coming to you. He said, but when I write to you, I'm a bold man. I'm writing things that are sometimes hard. Sometimes they're going to hit you between the eyes, get up in your grill type stuff. He said, I understand that the people that slip in when I'm gone say this about me. Paul's weak. You know, when he was here among us, like a little lamb, meek and mild and humble. Then he goes off, he's maybe 500 miles away, and he writes these letters, and man, he's this big, tough guy. Paul, he's just, the accusation was, he's weak. He's weak. Do you think that the devil ever accuses you of being weak? All the time. Do you know what? Probably he's right. We are. I think Paul would tell you if you asked him, listen, I'm just a frail guy. I am nothing without Christ, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think Paul would agree with us that if somebody accused him of being weak, he probably would say just like us, yeah. I'm not intellectual, and I'm not a giant as far as strength is concerned. All my trust is in Him. Paul, you're a weakling. His answer, don't judge the ministry by what you see outwardly. Don't judge what God is up to by what you are witnessing when you look at me or you look at what I do or what I say. Judge it according to the power of God. Judge it according to what God is up to. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. How about you, if Paul had carpet in his room, there were some worn out spots in the carpet where he got down on his knees. I bet you in his robe, there was worn spots where his knees constantly hit the ground. He's saying, we don't war after the flesh. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal. The devil can say what he wants to. The devil can come at us at any angle. Do you know the devil is accusing you today? I don't understand all of this, but he is accusing the brethren before the throne of God all the time. And Paul said, I understand people come against us. They're being controlled by other powers. And our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They're powerful and employed by God, dispensed by God, is what he's saying here. Our weapons come from God. Our ability comes from Him. They're not fleshly. And they have the ability to pull down strongholds. The language in the Greek is tear down prison walls. God can tear down the strongholds that are in people's lives on the inside and on the outside if we will just engage Him. If we'll just, what's my second point? Utilize the offensive and defensive weapons. The battle can go to where it needs to. It can do what it needs to accomplish. It can pierce through the wall. Casting down, tearing down and destroying imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is he saying? Anything, whatever has erected itself against God defiantly, the weapons that we have in our disposal, in our arsenal, can destroy the intellects, can destroy the defiance of mind and an attitude towards God. God can tear that down. Put on the right weapons. We're going to get to that in just a minute. He says, and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity or bringing into subjection every thought, and may I add purpose and design, that can be concocted against God. Every thought, it can take all of those things and take them captive. You know, probably the bigger warfare that goes on in your life and in my life is not even external sometimes. Where's it at? It's on the inside. You know, we're not, as Christians, we're not going to be possessed by any demon or the devil, but I promise you, you can be oppressed. And he will try to suppress. He will try to keep you flat down. He will try to keep you from being productive and have any potential or any power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will take you down if he can. He'll whisper in your ear. He'll parade things before your mind. He can't get inside your mind, but I promise you, he can do things to bring thoughts back up into your mind. He'll do it. People. Places. Things that happened. And the Bible says you need to use the weapons in your arsenal. Your warfare is not against flesh, but against the spirit that's coming against you. And you need to take that captive. By the holy name of Jesus, by the power of Him who is in you, you take that thing into subjection and you say, no more. You're not doing that to me today. You know what happens a lot of times though? We'll just sit there and we'll hash it out in our own mind. We'll just let it play over and over again. I wonder how many hours, not you but me, I wonder how many hours have been wasted thinking about things that I have no control over at all. I can't do anything about it. I can't do anything about the past. I can't do anything about what maybe is happening in the present. I can't do anything about what's been said or what's been done. It's already done. And here I'm wasting all of this time when God says, take that into captivity. Put it away. Put it into subjection. Place it under the blood of Christ, is what he's saying. Put it behind you and move on. Use the weapons of warfare in your arsenal. What are those weapons? Well, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that there's the weapon of, really, most of them aren't even an offensive weapon. They're a defensive weapon. But it's the weapon of a a shield of faith. He said that is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We've got to learn to take the shield of faith. What is it we're to walk in? We're not to walk by sight, but we're to walk by faith. Every day we get up, we should say, Lord Jesus, help me today to say by faith what you want me to say and to go where you want. God, help me by faith to trust you in the difficult moments, in the times that I don't understand what's going on. God, help me to trust you. I'll just be the first to admit here tonight, there are times when I take things into my own hands I've got no business taking into my own hands. I should say, Lord, this is bigger than me. It's yours. He said, use the shield of faith. Say, Lord, this one is not mine. This one's yours, and you can quench all the fiery darts that are coming right now. But if I take it into my hands, guess what? The fiery darts is going to hit me. And I'll end up trying to put out fires the rest of the day. Some of them that I might even had part in letting them get started. Hello? Anybody here but me? Put up the shield of faith and say, Lord, this is your battle, not mine. I believe you. I trust you. I'm going to walk on into this with you being my guard. Take the helmet of salvation. Lord, today I remember I'm saved. Today I remember that I'm your child. Today I remember that I've been graced by you. I'm taking the helmet of salvation. I'm not going to forget whose I am and what he's done for me. I know that my sins have been put under the blood of Jesus Christ. And the devil has no right. He cannot do anything to me ever. Ever. He has no power over me because I am saved. I am saved. I am eternally his. And if anything happens, the Lord had to give him permission to do it to begin with. But if I take the helmet of salvation off and I act like I'm not a child of God, guess what? The battle may be lost that day. Because my mind is open for all of the attacks. He penetrates me with lies and accusations. And he tears you down and he tears us down. Why? Because we've not put on the helmet. Our mind is being affected by the evil one. When all we had to do is say, hey, today, buddy, I'm reminding you I'm a child of God. And I've been graced. And anything you want to bring up, it's under the blood. Any accusation you want to bring, he took care of it. And oh, by the way, Satan, I know what's going on in heaven. When you bring up anything against me, the Lord steps up and says, hang on just a minute, that one's mine. He's mine, and you can't touch him. Leave him alone. He's got the helmet of salvation on. He's got his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He's not just walking about this world doing his own business, but my child is out there on enemy territory proclaiming peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding, that'll keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. That's what he's doing. He's proclaiming peace. He's proclaiming the gospel. He's saying, if you need rest, come. The Lord will give you rest. If you need forgiveness, come. The Lord will wash it all clean. If you need the Lord to be your Savior, He is waiting. He is waiting. I've had that gospel of peace walked all over me. and I want to walk it out all over where I go. I'm glad He didn't leave a spot untouched when He saved me, aren't you? He touched it all. He saved it all. We have to utilize our offensive weapons. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You know, I'm skipping a few of these. Prayer is what energizes all of these pieces of armament. It gives it the power to be productive. Paul is mentioning here that prayer is really the strongest weapon that we have. We're putting on the girdle or the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and we take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and we go out there and we can attack the devil with the Word of God. We can attack his demons with the Word of God. We can speak the Word of God, but you can't do it if it's not in here or in here, or at least, if you don't know it, carry it. But he says all of those pieces find their strength when we put it on in prayer. As a matter of fact, that's what gives the battle the energy to succeed. I've been back and forth with whether I should use this or not. I'm going to go ahead and use it. I've never read the book, The Art of Warfare by Sun Tzu. I think that's how you say his name. But I've read pieces, bits, excerpts from it. And here's what he said, which is so true. It goes right along with Ephesians. He said, attack the enemy's strategies. Don't let him rest. Go after him. And how do you do that? How do you go after Satan's strategies? You put each piece on with prayer. What is he strategizing tonight? He wants to know how to get you men to commit adultery. What's it going to take to get you involved in pornography? He wants to know what would it take to get him to become an addict of something other than God? What would it keep him from loving his family like he should? What would keep him from serving his God like he should, like he serves him now, like he wants to? What can I take away? What can I give? How can I trip him up? What can I tempt him with? That is what he's up to. Who can I bring in his path that will cause him to be angry, cause him to be envious, want him to cause him to be jealous of something that someone else has? How can I disrupt what that man of God, that woman of God is doing for her Savior and his Savior? What can I do? I put each piece on with prayer, and I thwart the attacks of the enemy. Are you getting this tonight? I like what else this man, who was a very brilliant strategist in like 4 A.D. His book wasn't even translated in English until the 1900s. He said this. Man, this is good. The best way to defeat any enemy is to get them out of your life completely. Well, that's not brain surgery, is it? You want to defeat him? Get him out of your life completely. Don't let him have an inch. That's what Ephesians says. Don't give him a foothold, a beachhead. The way that Paul says it in Ephesians is, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, because when you do, you let him have an inch. You let him have a beachhead where he can set up operations. If he doesn't have any room in your life, guess what? He's not going to be able to do anything in your life. Don't give him room. In other words, you better be careful. You remember the old song, Miss Becky? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. You know who else is looking? Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Guess who else is watching? How about your feet? Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. You know what, folks? We have authority as the church, as Christians, to sin less. And say you ever get sinless, but you can sin less. You can get him so far out of your life. I'm not saying that he's not going to come back. I'm not saying he's not going to come do battle with you. But you're not going to give him any weapons to do battle with you. You're not going to give him any tools to pry at you. He's not going to have anything that he can use against you if you'll be careful. Your eyes, your mouth, your hands, your feet. Avoid enemies as much as possible. Can you imagine a mighty general writing these words down? Boom. Avoid your enemies if you want to win the battle. Hello. If you avoid them, you don't even have to have the battle. Come on, people. That's what he's talking about. You know, that's like an old drunk. Got saved, wandered back into the bar, wondered why I got drunk again. Hello? Got to get away from it. Disarm them. Steal their ability to offend, torment, and irritate you. Just get away. Listen, I'm going to tell you something tonight. This is, you may not have ever heard this from a pastor, but there may be times in your life when you need to avoid somebody. Just in Christ's love, just walk away. Don't answer that text. Don't go there on Facebook. Stop tweeting. Please. Don't go there. To subdue the enemy without fighting is the supreme excellence. Thus, what is of supreme importance in war is to attack the enemy's strategy. Understand that he's coming after you, and get ready. That's what he's saying. Get ready. Well, you got to utilize the weapons, offensively and defensively, that are in your arsenal so that you can unleash God's power and potential in your life. Friends, there's a constant battle and struggle in this world. There is. Until the day he throws him into the bottomless pit, there's going to be a struggle. I don't understand why God allows that to happen, but he does, because he wants us to make decisions to do what's right, to follow him, to love him. That's what God wants. In Jesus, we have been made new. There's still an old nature that's there that Paul wrote about. Man, sometimes I do the things I don't want to do. And sometimes I don't do the things that I want to do. Oh, wretched man that I am. And so I understand there's this struggle, but the only way to win that battle is to give it to God. To put on His armor and to do it in prayer. It's time that we claim God's promise to cast down the wrong thinking in our own lives, the spiritual high-mindedness that may be around us in other people's lives that are keeping them from surrendering to God. We got to ask God to tear down the towers and the walls that's been built that are against Him. It may be in our lives. God will do great things if we will simply ask Him. I'm going to say that one more time. God will do great things if we will simply ask Him. Problem is, we've maybe stopped asking for that child, grandchild. We've stopped asking for that friend. Can I just be honest? I've tried to be honest with you, but I guess I say that for dramatic effect, okay? Every day I used to pray over our nation and over our president and over the people that were in government that were leading us. I prayed over them for wisdom and for protection. And man, I had a whole list for strength and everything. Man, I got to thinking about this about 2 months ago. I got to thinking, I stopped praying for that. I stopped praying. And say, you stopped praying. I hope you kept praying for all of that. But I had stopped praying for that. And it made me think, wonder what else I've stopped praying about. Are y'all all hearing me? What else did I stop praying about? I'll close with this. I'm reminded of the battle against Amalek in Exodus. Joshua was told by Moses, you go down into the valley and you fight. I'm going to go up onto the mountain and I'm going to pray. And as long as Moses was praying, hands up, they will win the war. If he got tired, the battle changed directions. We can't quit. We can't quit. Because the battle won't stop. It's going to go on whether you're in it or not. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get in it, it means defeat for you. And maybe for me. What's the difference between a battle and a war? We know the war is going to be won. There's lots of battles that can either be lost or they can be won. It's up to us. You know, when Jesus had that 40-day fast, Satan came at the end of it. And you all know what happened. He tested and tempted him. And what did Jesus do? Every time, the Word says, the Word says, the Word says. You know why Jesus was able to defeat? There were some pretty real, there was a trial there. In the flesh, he was hungry. And I'm sure that if he hadn't been 100% God, he might have lost that battle. But because he was God, and he gave us the example, here's what we need to take away from that. Listen to me. He will come when you're weak. So prepare to do battle when you're weak. How do you do it? God, you got to do this for me. You have to come out and work and fight. And Lord, I will use your word as you help me to win. The devil went away from him for a season. He may leave you alone for a while, but guess what? He'll be back. He'll be back. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and musicians come. Lord, we have spent extra time in the last 2 or 3 weeks praying as a church. And Lord, we've seen some great things happening. And we know, Father, from not only experience, but as we read your word, that when you get up to something, the devil doesn't like that. And he wants to try to shut it down. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be vigilant, to be watchful, because the devil, the roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. That's what he's up to. He's only come to kill, steal, and to destroy. That's what he's up to. Lord, help us not to lose our edge, but help us to stay focused. Help us to stay committed to prayer and to faith and salvation and peace and humility and righteousness and the gospel. Help us to not leave off love and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Lord, help us to daily refresh ourselves with you before we ever go out to do anything in this body. Lord, I pray you will give us strength when we're weak. Give us health when we're sick. Give us wisdom when we lack understanding. And God, give us boldness because we have faith in you. And I pray, Lord, we'll see battles won in our homes, in this church, for your glory. I pray, Lord, over our land that we'll see a moving
I sense there are Christians just on the edge of moving into a fresh revival in our country. And I pray, Lord, that we'll just go all in for you, Jesus. It's the only hope for our land is you, Jesus, and us standing with you, standing for right and justice and mercy, and walking humbly with our God. So, Father, tonight, whatever you need to do in our homes, whatever you need to do in our individual lives, in our church, I pray you'll do it right here in Jesus' name. We're going to sing, "Would You Stand?" What are we singing? We're going to sing "Near to the Heart of God." The altars are open if you need to come and pray. Pour out something on the altar to God.